After meeting the writer and director of The Power of Duff, we now welcome two members of the show's amazing cast. Greg Kinnear plays Charles Duff, a mid-market TV anchor who, despite his ambivalence about religion, has a spiritual awakening on the air and begins publicly exploring faith.
Jennifer Westfeld plays Sue, his highly professional, unhappily married co-anchor who is moved to question her own beliefs.
Greg Kinnear is an Academy Award nominee and Emmy Award-winning actor. Kinnear most recently wrapped production on Josh Boone's Writers, co-starring Jennifer Connelly. His performance as JFK and the Kennedys earned him an Emmy Award nomination in 2006. He starred in Little Miss Sunshine and was nominated for an Oscar for his role in As Good As It Gets.
And Jennifer Westfeld is best known for co-writing, co-producing, and playing the title role in the 2002 indie hit Kissing Jessica Stein. Jennifer and her longtime partner, John Hamm, formed their production company, Points West Pictures, in 2009. The first feature from the single is Friends with Kids, a film written, produced, for the first time directed by Jennifer. Jennifer also stars in the film, which opened earlier this year.
And again, The Power of Duff opens on the 18th, Wednesday, runs through the 29th, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Jennifer Westfeld and Greg Kinnear to the roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah.
So how is it going? Are you enjoying this process?
I am, very much, yeah. I'd never done a play before, and this is my first outing in this world, and it's been great. I've loved it. It's a fantastic group of actors, as good as any group I've ever worked with, and we have a provocative, I think, an interesting piece by Stephen, and I don't have a lot to compare it with, but in that void, I will say it's going quite well.
Do you come into this with any spirituality yourself?
I guess I come in with yeah, I do. I come in with some spirituality, and I think I come in with my own kind of beliefs about not only religion but a God, and I think that for everybody there's a struggle there. There's questions. I think what Charlie's dealing with in this particular show is just kind of a profound question after his father dies as to what his what's happened in his life, and he starts to ask these questions, and he does something quite amazing and starts praying in a public forum for things to happen, and these prayers, some of them are answered and some of them aren't, and it becomes this sort of spiritual crisis, and he starts bouncing around with all these different people in his life, these amazing characters, and he starts to have, I think, some clarity, and they do as well.
Do you like him?
Do I like Charlie Duff?
Yep.
Well, you cut right to the chase, don't you? I mean, there's no break with you, is there?
Guys, boom, 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 boom.
Got the Mike Wallace drop of sweat on my upper brow here. I guess I do very much. Yeah, I really do. There's an innocence to him, and I'm not sure I would have liked him in his previous incarnation, but there's something big happening in his life, and it's hard not to get on board with that, I think.
Do you have to like a character at some level to play it and to pull it off?
No, I guess not. I mean, I've always heard that. I mean, I think that you try to understand a character.
To relate to it.
You try to relate to it. You try to, have some perspective on what their perspective is. But and it may not be the same as yours, but I don't ever feel that is a prerequisite.
I'm interested in this being your first show, in first theater foray.
Yeah.
Is it something you've always wanted to do, and that just this was the opportunity that presented itself? Or,
well, it is something that I have been interested in, over the years, and there's been a couple of close calls, but I Mark Platt, who is our producer on this show, who has produced a lot of films and had a lot of success in theater. He owns Wicked, and and I have a long association from back as Good As It Gets was when I mm-hmm. met Mark, so I think he was aware that this is something I was kind of interested in, and talked to me about this program and how it's a chance to sort of dip a toe in with, and get a feel for it and an understanding for it. But it's been much more than I could have hoped. It's really been great.
So Jennifer, what is it like to work with someone who, I mean, are you sort of giving him an insight into theater at all?
Yes, yes.
No, I think
it's a daily lesson teaching for her.
I think Greg is a natural, and it's been really exciting for all of us to work with him on this. It's been fun for me to be back here at Vassar. I've been here a few times, and I think it's an incredible place. It's so creative, and it's a really safe environment to sort of find a piece and for the writer to hone a piece and see something on its feet without the pressure of, you know, critics and whatnot. It's sort of a daily process. He's been reworking the script and the order and the arc and getting the opportunity to see actors try and bring it to life and experiment, you know, and find the show, which is what New York Stage and Film is all about, I think.
Do you watch the news?
Do I watch the news? Yes. My sister's a journalist, so I guess I've always been a bit of a news junkie, although I have to admit Jon Stewart and Stephen Colbert are where I get most of my news these days.
They had a poll. 50% of American young people get all of their news.
Yeah, you don't have to even qualify it anymore. It's not even like something you have to qualify. Of course you get it from there. Where else would you get it?
But you have issues with the female anchors that you watch, with the exception of your sister.
Well, no, my sister's a print journalist at the AP. But do I have issues? I wouldn't say I'm a connoisseur of sort of female anchor women. I haven't really studied it until this play. We've been watching a lot of local news links and
I'm
sort
sorry.
Of that.
They said, I'm sorry.
They drive me nuts. I mean, really crazy.
I like it. There's always been kind of a sing-songy quality to the
That's
evening
right.
news. Where, good evening, everybody. Here's what's happening in the Southland. Shake, rattle, and roll. It was an earthquake at 4:03 this morning. My gut. Everything's got a nice song and sound to it.
What was your original career goal?
Oh, geez.
Well, because I first became
no
familiar
pressure.
With...
Stay out of prison? I don't know.
I first became familiar with you on Talk Soup, where you're an anchor.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what was the idea before that? Was always acting, or how did you fall into that?
I'll tell you, I started college as a drama major, and I switched to broadcast journalism. I didn't know any actors, and the idea of, you know, pursuing that as a real vocation, just I didn't know where to start, and I had interest in news. We had traveled around a lot. My dad was with the American Embassy when I was a kid. So news was of always great interest to me, and I thought that maybe there was a, you know, I'm probably a step or two away from Charlie Duff here, and you know, I there was some part of me that was interested in that world.
So because you did Talk Soup and then you did Waiter,
yeah.
After Bob Costas
right.
on NBC,
yeah,
and you're a really good interviewer.
Well, thank you,
and and a good broadcaster. So at what point? What was the lure then to say, okay, I am now ready to dip my toe in that water?
Well, all of the best stuff we did on Talk Soup were like silly skits and goofy behind the scenes stuff. So I guess part of you know, I had you know, that was a big part of it, and I suppose it was an incredible opportunity. You know, Sidney Pollack was casting Sabrina, and he had seen God knows how some episode of Talk Soup, and called me up and wanted to meet with me, and I assumed it was just to come in and I don't know. And I had a great meeting with him, and he said, listen, there's this role in a movie, and I'd be interested in you know, reading the script. And I auditioned for him a couple of times, and he ended up, you know, giving me an opportunity in that. And so I kind of volleyed between being a broadcaster and being an actor for a while. But it was, they're very contradictory worlds, I think. And I just, at the end of the day, I felt like, at least at that point in my life, I had a hell of a lot more fun and interest in the acting world.
Do you think your character is more, do you like your character more or respect your character more than what you usually see on broadcasts?
Yeah, I do. I think he's, he's the kind of guy that I could watch and be okay with somehow, Charlie. I mean, I give him a pass. and I don't always, you know, sometimes I'd be, you know, flipping the channel as quick as anybody. But with him, I find myself kind of liking him. And we have a good little news broadcast group at the top of the show, don't we?
We do. It's We've a nice little family.
Channel 10. It ain't bad at all. Let me tell you, John Ebbs, our sportscaster, and the weather
Roger in the weather center.
Down in the weather center. I mean, there's something very special happening at this particular station. So I'm all for it.
When you the first time I interviewed you was you were in the car, and it was when the O.J. Simpson story broke, and you did our show live. I was on a commercial station. You did our show live, and you were in a car trying to get all this information on the Simpson story that was just breaking.
Right.
And
I was doing later at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was amazing. It was really, really cool.
That I could prepare for a broadcast and track the O.J. Simpson runaway.
What we talked about that day was how you balance a story that is ultimately about murder and work it some way into an entertainment program.
Right. Well, were we cover? I don't think we covered that, did we?
You talked about it.
Huh?
Yeah.
On the show?
I think you talked about it, yeah.
Who's the guest?
I don't know.
I don't think we got OJ that night.
You had somebody
SUV on the 405.
No, because you said you were doing research for the show.
Well, I might have just been trying to fill, you know.
Were those good days?
The truth comes out here in Poughkeepsie.
I have no further comment on this. I'd like to talk to my lawyer right now.
Those were good days?
They were great. Yeah, I loved doing that show. I really did. We had a great group of people down there. And you know, it was hard. That shows
I think you were doing Talk Soup then. That was 94.
I was doing both.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You were going back and forth.
That's right. And that's why you caught me, because I had done Talk Soup and I was driving over the hill to get to NBC. And it was a little hectic and a little busy, but I liked it. It was very hard. You know, that show later, you know, it's a guest and you need to fill 30 minutes of time. And as you are trying to fill just even the short quadrant, right now, I mean, it's hard to, you know, it's hard to kind of keep that entertaining and to keep, depending particularly on who the guest is. And we didn't always have, you know, top tier.
The A-list, so,
not necessarily the full body of work to talk about. So I had a paperweight from my producer that said, So what else? ? And that was always our running joke about, like, if you ever got to the question, so what else? You were in a lot of trouble.
Your predecessor on that program, and one of the best lines I've ever heard on Bob Costas, when he just, like, finally turned to Stephen Wright and he said, okay, we got 5 minutes, be funny.
No pressure. Yeah. I'm going to turn to you and say that in one of the performances next week.
Right. I think you should.
Break the fourth wall.
5 minutes.
And say, Greg, be funny.
The Power of Duff opens Wednesday, runs through July 29th. Go to powerhouse.vassar.edu for more information. Greg Kinnear and Jennifer Westfeld, best of luck. Thanks so much for being with us.
All right. Thank you for having us.
Thank you. You're listening to The Roundtable live from Vassar.